some 20 plus years ago, for reasons not relevant to this story, I underwent and survived the Myers-Briggs type indicator test, and at the same time, the FIRO-B, a narrower measurement of your need for social interaction. The psychologist who interpreted my results said that on Myers-Briggs, I proved to be so unconditionally introverted, I was what he called an introvert's introvert. On FIRO-B, I evidenced almost zero need for social interaction. He'd never seen a score so low. He said I'd fit right in at a Trappist monastery if I could stand living in Kentucky. Me, a Trappist monk. Historical footnote here, in my senior year at St. John's University, I scored a solo dormitory room, my own personal space, and it felt miraculous, though I didn't believe in miracles by then. St. John's is a Benedictine community. The Trappists were originally affiliated with the Benedictines, until all the Benedictine chatter and camaraderie drove them away into their monkish caves. Enough about me. What about introverts generally in this time of pandemic, social distancing, virtual communicating? Conventional wisdom has suggested that introverts should thrive in these circumstances. Here's a what-if scenario. Suppose you're an introvert and through good luck and planning have for years managed to work from home alone. Your partner goes off to the job in the morning, gone for 8 or 10 hours. Your kids are in school all day, then engaged in after-school activities. For at least 5 days a week, you're alone most of your waking hours. Suddenly, the whole family is around you 24/7. You are not wired for this. And it's not just that they're all home. Your partner, who requires some interaction with others, is arranging Zoom cocktail parties, and you're expected to join in. You have the same friends. You're accustomed to being around them at a bar, for example. But at the bar, you can usually find a way to talk to one person sitting next to you while the rest are carrying on as a group. Or you can simply shut up and listen. A Zoom happy hour is a contradiction in terms. You cannot talk to just one person. Half the time, everyone's talking at once anyway, over-talking mostly. It feels like a board meeting without the protocols and decorum of a board meeting, and without donuts. Meanwhile, in the other room, your kids are group-watching Netflix movies with who knows how many friends, and it sounds like they're all watching different movies, yakking and howling together about different plots, different actors, different naked bodies. How is this even possible? Let's say your partner's siblings and their kids are scattered all over the place, from San Francisco to Copenhagen. Now your partner is scheduling virtual family convenings across enough different time zones that to participate, some of those people are getting up so early they're barely awake, and some of them are already in their jammies and they're barely awake. Final thought, the term introversion is not synonymous with shyness, though extroverts tend to think it is. From one introvert to another, you know who you are. You don't mind a certain amount of social exchange. No, you never have. Even Trappist monks break bread together, in silence maybe, but still. You might be worn out from all this togetherness in a moment when the plan is to stay as far away as you can. This will not last. And when it's over, there will be more introverts in the world, at least for a while. Everybody will need alone time after all this togetherness passes.
That's Steve Downing, his essays made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
He's too close for comfort. Be wise, be smart.